Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We've got Kurt and Tim and Gene. We're talking about the JFK assassination, and now that more documents have been released, and there's many left that we may not see for years or in our lifetimes, whether this leads us to any further theories. And the question is here is, there are possible guilty parties involved in killing JFK. Was it this crazy guy who once defected to Russia? Was he involved, but others made him do it? I don't think we'll ever know. And if they do know, they don't want us to know. And is that the way we end it? Tim, what do you think?
Well, and I think earlier you brought up a good point about the whole Jack Ruby involvement, you know, in this. Of course, his excuse was that he felt sorry for Jacqueline Kennedy, and that was why he killed Oswald. Later, though, while he was in prison, and of course, you would have to take, you know, what he said at this point with a grain of salt. You know, he said that he had been set up, that he had been instructed by someone, and he never did identify who, to go in there and kill Oswald, because Oswald was supposed to have been killed by the policeman that Oswald had murdered during his escape, before he went and hid in the Tippett, I think is what the police
Tippett
name.
Right. Yeah.
Tippett was supposed to be the one to kill Oswald, but Oswald got the drop on him and killed him. And so then Ruby was told that he had to go and kill Oswald because Jack Ruby was a familiar face in that particular police headquarters where Oswald was being kept. So it was very easy for him to sneak in, and nobody would really notice that that he was there. Whether or not Oswald actually pulled the trigger or not, the fact that Ruby, for whatever reasons, managed to get in there and kill him before he could really talk, to me, has always been very, very suspicious about the whole case.
And look at the security problems again. We have the FBI not being consistent in following Oswald. We have the security at the police facilities where Jack Ruby is allowed to enter. They don't check him for a presence of a weapon, because nowadays you have the metal detectors. This is 1963, no metal detectors. And he's able to get away with killing Oswald. And he does a pretty damn good job. He didn't have to fire multiple times to do it. It's just so convenient. And then Ruby dies of cancer several years later, but never supposedly gives us the full story, but claims he has something to say.
That's unfortunate because, like you said, I mean, you know, Ruby said that he had the evidence and that he would talk under the right conditions, but nobody obviously gave him the right conditions, or he really didn't have anything to say. Yeah.
Well, maybe it was a question of protecting his family.
True. True.
You see, that would be part of it right there. I just wonder, though, about Oswald's wife. What was it, Marina Oswald?
Yes.
Why she was treated as a celebrity after all this. Wouldn't you be suspicious of her? What kind of influence did she have on her husband? And could she have been the factor that made him want to kill Kennedy?
Well, again, you have to consider that she was the daughter of a very high-ranking Soviet general. And again, why did the Soviet Union allow her to leave? Why did they allow both of them to leave? And why did the United States allow her to defect into the country along with her husband with nothing ever being done? You know, welcome to America. Here's a house. you would have thought that they would have spent at least a few months in a federal pen being interrogated. As far as we know, that never happened. And of course, shortly before Kennedy was assassinated, Oswald reportedly was in Mexico City to talk to somebody at the Russian embassy there. And nobody did anything about that.
Just so convenient. By the way, Marina Oswald Porter is still alive. She's 80 years old. She became a naturalized American citizen, so we allowed her. And the most recent statements from her, well, originally I think she believed he was responsible. And then later on she said, well, he wasn't. At least he gave her public presence, if not anything else.
Well, I mean, I think the American, you know, public felt sorry for her, not knowing her background, her family background. You know, here's this poor Russian bride, you know, brought into the United States, and his husband goes and kills the president. You know, it just goes to show you, you know, how despite some other situations, just how nice the American public can be in a tragic situation. But still, you know, we're just left to wonder, you know, in the first place, why they were allowed back into the country, unless, as the Soviet authorities suspected, that Oswald was sent there as a cover.
Okay, this becomes crazier and crazier. Now, as far as her dad being a high muckety-buck in the Soviet government doesn't mean that she was any of that. Now, I think it says, according to the Wikipedia listing, that she was a pharmacist, which means nothing in the sense of what she would have done, except that women did do a lot more work in the Soviet Union in terms of being gainfully employed and having high professional positions. But still, it gets back to the same thing. Again, all these questions which rely on incompetence to accept, incompetence on the part of the FBI, incompetence on the part of the police in Dallas, Texas, incompetence to accept all this from happening, incompetence on the part of the U.S. State Department for allowing all this to happen, especially after a president is assassinated and you think, folks, you've got these higher sensitivities that have to come into play. Kurt, what's your view?
Oh, there's so many inconsistencies. I think there probably would be in any time that an event of this magnitude, and you know, it's like the ultimate murder mystery. The CIA, when they issued a report on their in the 90s under the Clinton administration on UFOs, on their documents, they said that UFOs and the Kennedy assassination were their two biggest requested items, and those mysteries would never die. And one person that was interested in both topics was Dr. Leon Davidson, and I believe you knew him.
Ah, yes, Dr. D. Now, he had self-published a copy of the Project Blue Book Special Report number 14 with his annotations. And he was a key factor, this is getting back to the UFO field again, Dr. D, of persuading Jim Moseley that UFOs were government test aircraft. And then I remember one conversation that Jim had with Dr. D, where Dr. D apparently was deceiving him. And this was the point where Jim's viewpoints had migrated from secret weapons to something else. So funny you should mention Dr. D. I met him a couple of times back, obviously, in the 1960s. So there we go with that many stages of connection. That's about 4 degrees of separation, I think. We have Tim and Kurt and Gene. Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar four or more times a day and inject insulin three or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. It alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Back with our special guest co-host roundtable with Tim Swartz and Kurt Collins. I think, Kurt, you were about to say something. Once we mentioned Dr. D?
Right. So, Dr. Leon Davidson, when the CIA reported, made their report and it issued documents, a whole bunch of the documents from the 1950s and 60s were letters or documents about Davidson's pressure on the CIA and the Air Force. He wanted to know more. Who are these people talking to witnesses? And he was just a big thorn in their side. And so there was just a whole lot of paper on him. And I have to wonder, with his interest, he was equally interested in the Kennedy assassination. And, you know, he's not as famous for that because I think he contributed to newsletters, but his Blue Book volume is kind of what put him on the map there. But I'm just wondering, are there CIA documents? Did he write the same kind of letters to them? I haven't come across his name in it yet, but I'm going to be looking. So he was, you know, you were talking about Mark Lane. Well, Dr. Davidson was in there. He was the first generation Kennedy assassination conspiracist. A whole lot of them came later, but, you know, he was there from the start.
Now, I'm looking here at Dr. Davidson's bio. He lived till the ripe old age of 84, died in 2007, and it doesn't really, here it is, this is where he allegedly spent many hours analyzing major national and world events, including the Kennedy assassination, questionable presidential elections, and the Jonestown massacre. Now, questionable presidential elections, does he mean 2000 with Bush and Gore?
I wonder. I hadn't heard about that before.
There's not a lot of documentation on it. We more or less consider the connection with UFOs. And apparently he was involved in nuclear research. A chemical engineer was his degree. And it says here in the mid-50s he joined the Nuclear Development Corporation of America in White Plains. He worked with Union Carbide, Western Union, General Precision Laboratories, and IBM, where he was allegedly manager of advanced applications development. I mean, the guy was a well-educated man. He seemed pretty serious about things. And I don't know. I don't know about his conclusions.
I'd like to know what Jim Moseley found deceptive about him.
Well, you know, Jim had accepted the Earth theory, and then something that Dr. D said, and I was privy to the conversation, but I kind of half heard it. And when he did, he said, well, you were just fooling me, weren't you? And then not long after that, Jim started embracing a more traditional view of UFOs. But this is, you know, we're talking about a lot of years ago.
Well, my impression is that Alan Dulles of the CIA was kind of Dr. Davidson's white whale, and he thought he was behind everything evil. So that was part of it. The Socorro UFO incident in 1964, the symbol, he tried to somehow divine that symbol represented CIA. So I think he was actually obsessed.
Well, it just goes to show you, though, that when you have the mindset to find evidence to fit your own personal theories, you're going to find it.
There's so much ambiguity, and all these pictures that have been blown up, and, you know, people are finding gunmen in every shadow. That's why science doesn't want you to go into a situation with a preconceived notion, and that you're only looking to prove, you know, your position. You know, you have to look for what's actually there and what the evidence is telling you. And I think, at least in his case, it led him astray in both the UFOs and the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, unfortunately, we see that a lot where, you know, on both sides, you know, conspiracies, JFK, you know, the World Trade Center, UFOs, what have you. You go in there, you know, like, oh, well, this doesn't seem right. I need to find evidence to prove my point, and, you know, you're going to find that evidence, but then somebody else who is looking for a different sort of evidence can find that same evidence that the other person found. That's, you know, that's why when people say, when it comes to UFOs, someone says to me, oh, well, you know, do you believe in UFOs? And I'm like, I don't believe in anything. I approach all of this stuff with an open mind. That way, when presented later on, maybe with new better researched evidence, I'm willing to accept it. You know, there's so many people out there who conducts this kind of research. They have that mindset, and they refuse to listen to anything new, possibly better research that comes around.
Well, we could look in that way at what Kelleher says about the hitchhiker effect, about things that accompany UFO sightings. Maybe he's looking too hard.
I wonder about that, because if a group of, and it seemed like this, the people who were going to Skinwalker Ranch, several, you know, they had things in common. They visited the ranch, they had military experience. They probably heard the same stories. And if you believe there's a hitchhiker effect, if you hear a weird noise, your floorboard creaks, you know, is that a hitchhiker? You know, and it just makes me wonder if, you know, it's just like going into a house you're told is haunted, you know, that you're preconditioned to expect some kind of signal, some kind of event.
Well, that would also mean that if something else happens, a ghost is seen, a poltergeist effect, I say, see, there's proof that it happens if you see a UFO, but it doesn't happen all the time. Not everyone who sees a UFO has all this stuff going on in the background.
Oh, exactly, exactly. I've gone on numerous UFO hunts with people, especially to, you know, what they would claim to be UFO hotspots, and they get all excited by satellites or a plane going over with its landing lights on, and then just really get mad at me where I'm like, oh, that's no, I'm sorry, that's a jet with its landing lights on, or something along those lines. So, you know, you really do have to approach all of this, you know, with an open mind and not expect anything, you know, and definitely, as we see on a lot of these reality television shows, don't think that every sound from a house settling is, you know, somebody's great aunt, you know, grandmother Martha trying to communicate from beyond the veil.
I've wondered about the Bigelow people in particular, because you had a billionaire that was expecting a conclusion or at least continuing paranormal reports. And you probably want to keep your boss happy. I'm just wondering if there seems to be some bias there.
Let's do our break here. We've got Kurt and Gene and Tim. We're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Former President Donald Trump paid a visit to Houston on Saturday as part of a limited tour discussing his presidency. The Toyota Center was the third stop on Bill O'Reilly's history tour with Donald Trump.
45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
O'Reilly's tour featuring Trump kicked off in Florida at venues in Sunrise and Orlando. Next, they're scheduled to stop at the Dallas American Airlines Center this afternoon.
Nicholas Sandman and Asti has reached a settlement with NBC Universal after more than 2 years since Sandman filed a defamation lawsuit against the media company. The two parties agreed to dismiss the case with prejudice, meaning that Sandman cannot refile the same claim again in that court. This is USA Radio News. Fox News host Tucker Carlson talks about public policies that degrade work and reward people who don't want a job in an interview with Dirty Jobs host Mike Rowe on Thursday's broadcast of Tucker Carlson Tonight.
Skilled labor all too often reminds the rest of us of what we're fundamentally lacking. The thing that scares me more than anything, and the reason I started the foundation when I did, was 13 years ago, for every 5 tradesmen that retired, 2 replaced them.
The NFL revised its COVID-19 protocols on Saturday and will no longer test asymptomatic, fully vaccinated players. 95% of NFL players and over 99% of coaches and staff are fully vaccinated against COVID. In short, unvaccinated individuals will continue to be tested daily. Fully vaccinated individuals will be subject to targeted testing. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So you're suggesting here, Kirk Collins, that maybe all this stuff happening, the people working around Bigelow are trying to appeal to his needs or expectations?
Well, maybe not all of it, but I think that, you know, it could have colored the reports. The guards that were on, they were expected to write reports, and they were told they were basically on a haunted property. So maybe they give it a more paranormal feel when they write it up. So, you know, I don't think it was all, you know, pure fiction, but I think that you get more paranormal reports that way than you do just, you know, did you see any intruders? Did you see a UFO? Did you see, you know, an entity? Did you feel a presence? Well, I think you get a few more answers that way, particularly from that kind of a type A boss.
Then again, we don't know how gullible this guy really is. We know of him because he made money running a mid-priced hotel chain. That doesn't make you an expert on the paranormal, on UFOs.
Or the scientific method.
Precisely.
Exactly. One of the things that, that I've heard that the whole Skinwalker investigation by the Bigelow people, that they stopped the funding and eventually then sold the property to somebody else, was that the evidence that was being collected, and they spent a lot of money, you know, getting, you know, then at that point, you know, pretty high technology cameras and things like that, was that the phenomena was frustratingly elusive, that, you know, things would happen behind the cameras rather than in front of them. I mean, there was the one case where a camera array just out of sight of another camera array in a matter of seconds, I guess, was destroyed and the wires shredded. So, you know, when you've got somebody that is looking for some kind of earth-shattering evidence only to be frustrated time and time again, then yeah, you know, you're just going to throw up your hands and say, well, this isn't what we're looking for. We're going to, you know, we're going to go do something else. You know, I think that probably played a pretty big role in how it was investigated and why ultimately it was stopped and why we haven't seen, I'm not sure, you can correct me, you know, if I'm wrong on this. I don't know if any of the documentation that was collected during the initial Bigelow investigation has ever been released.
You know, speaking of Bigelow, I want to bring up a couple of aspects. Bigelow Aerospace, back in the spring of this year, filed a $1.05 million lawsuit against NASA, okay, for work done developing and testing an expandable space module. So they claim they fulfilled the contract with NASA, but were not fully paid. Then again, Bigelow got his money as the head of the Budget Suites of America. Now, you know, fine. He developed a business or bought a business and made a lot of money. But if you look for the reviews of Budget Suites, especially in this area, you find out it's a pretty poorly rated suite, set of motels. Poorly rated. So I don't know whether that's his responsibility or whether he wants to run a cheap operation. I have no idea. But if I was looking for lodging, I would take a look at that and say, I don't think so.
Yeah, I understand he's a tough boss. He's pretty demanding. He wants what he wants. He wants, and I think people who are with him over a period of years, they probably are the people who tend to give him the answers that he wants or produce the results. But it's interesting about when NIDS, he developed that to do all this sorts of research. It shut down around, I think it was 2004, 2005, and there was a statement that there wasn't enough activity to warrant further investigation and funding at that time. And that, you know, if that changed, they would be reactivated. Well, they weren't exactly, but then a few years later, 2000 and 2007, it was really 2008, the contract with the Pentagon came along. And so even though he had said earlier there wasn't activity, when the funding came from the government, he got the boys back together, the key players, and they were producing results. And so that, but I don't know that they had better evidence. You know, they went out and tried, but I don't know the government actually approved the way they did it, because a lot of it was through with this contract with MUFON, some civilian investigators who were trained in it was basically UFO club participants that, you know, they had supposed to follow a scientific method, but, you know, they weren't, most of them, actual scientists doing the work.
What they did is they passed this mail order course that you have to pay, $100 for? And they become, therefore, investigators. But the question is here, just how good are they? How well were they trained? And once again, that contract fell on bad times. James Carrion, I think, was involved with MUFON at the time all this went down. And maybe it was a matter of Bigelow exerting too much control or they failing to deliver the goods. I don't know. But which is something we didn't know before, they, MUFON, received funding for this investigation from the Pentagon through Bigelow. Bigelow got the money from the Pentagon, the $22 million. Some of it went to MUFON. Therefore, government funds were given to MUFON to study UFOs. Think about it.
That's right. And the more controversial aspect of that is that this contract with MUFON also involved them opening up their case files to be put into the database that Robert Bigelow was building and delivering to the Pentagon. And certainly none of the witnesses knew that. And I think a great many of them would have been uncomfortable knowing that they were going to the government. You know, traditionally, maybe not witnesses, but UFO folks in general are distrustful of the government. I think they would have been pretty unhappy with that arrangement.
Well, traditionally in the UFO field, the government supposedly is the enemy. It's the silence group. It's the cosmic Watergate. They're keeping the truth about UFOs a secret, and we have to have disclosure. So now we have collusion amongst MUFON, Bigelow, and the Pentagon.
Well, and you know, you have to remember that the Pentagon is funding this stuff probably because they are looking for possible technological developments. You know, somewhere along the line, somebody was like, you know, these things are exhibiting characteristics that are beyond our knowledge, beyond our technology. How can we get a hold of this and make a weapon out of it?
Right. Yeah, but the thing that always bothered me about this entire program is that the amount of money, $22 million, in government parlance, that's nothing.
Nope.
That's buying a few truckfuls of toilet seats or something. It is nothing. It's a very small amount of money. And if they're that seriously interested in solving a mystery and protecting national security, they're dealing with, what, hundreds of billions of dollars are spent for the military appropriation. You look at the current budget, it's up $25 billion more than even the president wanted. If you look at all that spent, you give a $22 million for somebody to look after UFOs because you call them UAPs. More to come with Tim and Kurt and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen.
So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. That's Shop, S-H-O-P, Super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is ShopSuperTea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's ShopSuperTea.com at 818-984-6100.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So think about it, folks. Why such a small amount of money? Or were they doing a favor to the then Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid? Okay, we'll give him his $22 million because he and a couple of other senators asked for it. But to me, it sounds like it's just a favor. It's nothing serious. What do you guys think?
That could be. And you know, I would think that for Robert Bigelow's perspective, he thought this was going to be a multi-year contract, and it wound up being canceled after the second year. And they delivered all these reports. And from what we've seen from Colm Kelleher, he put a list of all the reports in the book, and there were over 100. We were only aware of about 38 before that. You know, certainly would like to see some of those. I don't know what we might actually get to see of that, and is it going to be complicated by something we alluded to earlier about the fact that you have a private company involved? Does that give them protection and exemption from the Freedom of Information Act? Yeah, the amount of money, it was small. I mean, you look at some of the other things, it's comparable on a per year basis, I think, to what was spent for the remote viewing program. And what's so odd about that is that some of the same people were involved, Hal Putoff and Christopher Green. There's some overlap there. And that may be part of the problem, too, is that the scope of things was so far into the paranormal and psychic elements. That's why the Pentagon didn't want it. And it doesn't sound like there's much of that in what's going on now. I mean, the closest aspect we've heard is the human effects, you know, possibly the brain injuries and this sort of thing, you know, when exposed to UAP.
Well, I know that, you know, Nick Redfern has discussed that one of the reasons that funding was pulled by the Pentagon was, you know, in fact, because they were getting into the whole paranormal aspect, and that it was disturbing to, I guess, a lot of the higher muckety mucks who have a evangelical Christian background. And they felt that this was getting into the realm of Satanism and devils and demons and things like that. You know, a lot of us may laugh at that, but there are a lot of people who believe in that stuff. And they put, you know, UFOs right into the same category as, you know, fallen angels and demonics and things like that. So, you know, I could see where there would be a push. At first, you're like, okay, you know, look at the UFOs, throw them a few bucks, and then the reports come back that involved ghosts and phantom creatures and things like that. And you have some of these people going, oh, wait a minute, you know, this goes against our religious beliefs, you know, we're going to stop this.
Well, I think I've told our listeners several times that my wife's late uncle, Lewis Kaplan, or evangelist Lewis Kaplan, was basically a Jew for Jesus. He believed that UFOs were demonic, which is not an unusual opinion, but certainly something that I would find a little bit wacky.
Yeah, there are so many strange beliefs now. Now, if there had been tangible evidence, you know, maybe the government would have put that aside. But so many of the paranormal, you know, it's like most of the paranormal television shows. There's some weird report on a meter at best, you know, or there's maybe a photograph shadow, and that's. You know, the evidence for UFOs is much better, but, you know, it's something, you know, since it's been recorded on radar and infrared camera and things that remain a mystery, that's a little more substantial, at least in the eyes of the military, something they can work with.
And I have no doubt that the military probably has a lot more videos and, you know, gun camera photographs than the rest of us poor schlubs will ever know about, which goes to a question that I was wanting to ask in a previous show, Gene. I can't remember which one it was, maybe one with Joseph Foster, is that how the gimbal photograph and the, I think it was with the videos and the TikTok videos, managed to get released. Because it was, some people have acknowledged that, yeah, this stuff wasn't supposed to get out. How did it get out if it was a top secret? Or was it meant to get out?
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, the Tic Tac video had been out since 2007. Someone had made a copy. It had been released on YouTube. And it was out there. And, in fact, I'm under the opinion that the one that the Pentagon ultimately released was simply a copy of that was in the hands of, probably in the hands of Bigelow's people. More recent videos, when Lou Elizondo filled out the form to get those released, he didn't mention UFOs in there. He was talking about, there was a category of about three things, about balloons, unmanned aerial vehicles, and I forget what the other one was. You know, it was strictly conventional items. And I think that may have been deceptive. Certainly they didn't know, the Pentagon didn't know it was going to be released in a New York Times story. But it does make you wonder, how were those videos actually filed within the Pentagon? Were they using the term UAP or something like that? You know, was it merely unidentified aircraft?
Which again, I mean, you know, if that was the case, then somebody's head probably rolled because of that. You know, look at all of the press coverage and annoyance probably to the Pentagon from that one little short, you know, what, 20-second video that they probably would have preferred that nobody had ever seen it.
You still have to blame Senator Harry Reid for all this. He got the whole thing started. He's a friend of Robert Bigelow. I think Bigelow had contributed to some of his campaigns. So it maybe goes there. Maybe it's Bigelow's fault at the beginning, where he gets in touch with Senator Reid and said, look, I'm giving you all this money. Why don't you see if you can do something with the government to get them to investigate some of this stuff? And that's where it led. It wasn't something that Reid himself came up with. It was Bigelow who started the whole thing.
The unbelievable plot twist was revealed by Colm Kelleher on the show, that when they were hiring for this project, the first guy they interviewed was Lieutenant Colonel Doug Kurt, and he was a Nimitz witness, and he told them about it. So not only did they find a capable administrator, he was a UFO witness, and he could contact. So, and it was OSAP, not ATIP, that discovered this story, and it fell into their lap. I mean, that's incredible. The biggest UFO case, and within probably the last 30 years, was discovered essentially right then.
Hey, we are going to wrap it up here, guys. We'll get back with After the Paracast for more of this. So, Tim Swartz, tell our listeners where we can find more of your stuff.
Sure. You can find all of my books on Amazon.com. Just type in Timar Swartz, and they'll all come pouring out for your reading pleasure. My website is conspiracyjournal.com, spelled just like it sounds, conspiracyjournal.com, with all the weird news and information that they don't want you to know.
Kurt Collins, where is your stuff located?
Look for me at blueborylines.com and the blog, The Saucers That Time Forgot.
And Saucers That Time Forgot is a favorite because it has so much pop culture in it. Really fascinating. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can also find us on Facebook if you care to. We also have branded merchandise over at theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop, where you can get the logos on a variety of stuff, such as T-shirts and throw pillows and hoodies and all the other good stuff, good prices, good quality, theparacast.shop. And don't forget the Paracast Plus. Go to theparacast.plus. We have a website for that, too, where you can sign up quickly. We offer this show free of the network ads with higher bit rate, better audio, and you'll be hearing Tim and Kurt on After the Paracast. It's a special show with extended interviews, continuing the ones that started on the Paracast or exploring other stuff. You never know, it's uncensored also. How about that? To sign up quickly, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. For a limited time, use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, to get a 20% discount on 5-year or lifetime subscriptions to theparacast.plus. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, glad to be on.
Thanks for having me on, Gene.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.